Italy's bold deficit reduction plan just got a little less bold.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Italian government has decided to overhaul its $66 billion package of budget cuts passed earlier this month. Rome is making its austerity budget, it seems, a bit less austere. The government plans to drop several tax measures and allow its budget deficit to remain at a higher level. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us now live from the European desk in London with the details. Stephen, first of all, what exactly is the Italian government up to here?
Well, it is, as you say, rolling back some of its austerity measures, which were designed to cut the deficit to reassure investors. So the government's scrapped a plan to slap heavier taxes on higher earners, and it scrapped some spending cuts. So not entirely reassuring for investors who are deciding whether or not to buy Italian government bonds.
Well, if the whole point of the package in the first place was to reduce the debt and to make the bonds more attractive to foreign investors, then why would they be backtracking?
Well, there's some confusion here. I mean, the government says that actually its new measures will still reduce the budget deficit by the same amount as before. It'll just do it in a different way. We'll have to wait and see the details to see how true that is. But it does appear the government was worried about politics, that it wouldn't get the new old austerity package through Parliament because it was so unpopular.
And what are the risks, Stephen, associated with this sudden change-up?
Well, investors have to be reassured. And today, as it happens, the Italian government's trying to borrow $11 billion on the bond market. This is going to be a critical test of investor confidence. This is the first time they're doing this since the European Central Bank stepped in a couple of weeks ago to buy up Italian and Spanish government bonds. So today we'll see whether investors are prepared to lend more money to the Italian government, bearing in mind some concern that the Italians may be going soft on austerity.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, now to Libya, which is no longer home to some members of Muammar Gaddafi's family. His wife and three children have fled in the latest sign that his rule is coming to an end, even though no one can find him. And while rebels search for him, other countries are stepping in to help rebuild Libya. But as Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports now from Shanghai, China may have a problem because of its recent support of Gaddafi.
Here are the stakes for China. It's invested $20 billion in Libya. 35,000 Chinese workers were employed there, and 3% of China's imported oil comes from Libya. Now China stands to lose all of this because it placed its bets on the wrong guy. William McCahill is a former senior American diplomat who's now a financial services consultant in Beijing.
Now with Gaddafi ousted and the rebels having formed a new regime, the Chinese are trying, in a sense, to recapture the commercial interests that they had had. And they're having some difficulty in doing that.
The new Libyan state oil company says China may lose out on future oil contracts. That's because earlier this year, China declined to vote on a UN referendum to help protect Libyan civilians. McCahill says China's booming economy needs that oil. One example? China's adding 14 million cars a year. So any drop in the oil supply threatens Chinese productivity. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning. London up more than 2%, Tokyo up more than 1%. And here in the U.S., we got a mea culpa of sorts from the head of the world's largest mutual fund, which is not doing so well right now. A guy named Bill Gross down at PIMCO says he bet wrong when he sold all his firm's U.S. government bonds over inflation concerns. The interest rate on 10-year bonds dipped to historic lows last month, and Gross is now quoted as saying, "Do I wish I had more treasuries? Yeah, that's pretty obvious." No sorries on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow surged 254 points, about 2.25%, to close at 11,539.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. Healthcare coverage is supported in part by the California Endowment, a health foundation dedicated to expanding access to healthcare for all Californians.
We'll get a look at quarterly earnings this morning from the big box bookseller that is still in existence. That would be Barnes & Noble, and it is expected to post a loss. The company has had some success with its Nook e-reader, and it's losing a competitor because of the demise of Borders. But as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, Barnes & Noble is still struggling.
Analysts are expecting today's earnings report won't be pretty. Losses of almost a dollar a share and falling same-store sales. The news isn't all bad, though. Thanks to its Nook e-reader, Barnes & Noble now has more than a quarter of the e-book business.
The Nook would never, ever, ever be where it is today without the Barnes & Noble employees and without the physical store experience.
Michael Norris follows the book business at Simba Information. He says proof that physical stores matter is the fact that Amazon is now selling the Kindle through retailers like Best Buy. Media consultant Lorraine Shanley says Barnes & Noble is struggling with the same challenge as any other company making the shift to a digital world.
Which is, how do you use retail to drive sales, whether those sales are at the retail level or at the e-tail level?
It might get some help on that front next month. When Borders finally closes down, Barnes & Noble could pick up some additional foot traffic. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, remember the Flip video camera, which was supposed to be the next big thing until every smartphone in the world got a built-in video camera? Well, now the founder of Flip Video has launched a new venture, a chain of high-tech grilled cheese restaurants. Sounds like a good business. Let's check out the details, shall we? First, you order your grilled cheese using your cell phone. All right. That creates a QR code, which you then take to the restaurant to swipe. Okay. And then your order appears on the order board. Then the grilled cheese is put in the grill with a built-in microwave. And then the QR code, it sounds like a winner of an idea to me. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Ask a platoon of Marines why go green, you're going to get a lot of this.
I mean, come on. Like, seriously, it's not an environmental thing. It's all about trying to help us accomplish the mission.
Guns versus batteries. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Tactical trade-offs when troops use green tech. It's next time on Marketplace. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.